I'm Nalini Nagy, and I'm an assistant professor at the University of Maryland in Baltimore at the School of Social Work. And I'll be talking with you a little bit about my research, which focuses on the etiology of mental health problems and substance abuse among mainly Latino migrant workers, such as day laborers or other low-wage workers. Like most people here, or at least all of the presentations that I've attended, I have no relationships to disclose. So I just wanted to say that as it is mandated. I wanted to give you a quick snapshot of what the context of our study. Our study that I'm presenting today focuses on Latino immigrant workers working as day laborers in post-Katrina New Orleans. And as you know, post-Katrina, there has been a large demographic shift in the racial breakdown of the composition of New Orleans. We've seen, currently actually, the population of New Orleans is only at 65% of its original population. The population of African Americans has decreased by 57%. That's significant. And in terms of Latinos, it has increased from 4% to 20%. So think about the implications behind that. And in this specific situation, think about what it may mean when you are a new immigrant arriving into a new city with a very small history of previous Latino immigration, migration, or communities. The Latino migrants that have come in post-Katrina are mainly undocumented single men who came in, and as Dr. Congress mentioned, the whole push-pull theory, in this case we see it full-blown because we're seeing these Latino immigrant workers coming in to fulfill the demand for cheap labor. But we also see that they've continued to live in New Orleans, even post-construction efforts, even though now at this point, a lot of them are talking about the lack of economic opportunities available as construction jobs have been severely limited, and which is the field in which they mainly work in. Despite the fact that this is a highly vulnerable population, right, where we're talking about the fact that they're coming in, these are new immigrants without a sense of community, they're largely undocumented, we do not really know too much about their adaptation to this new settlement area. We do know, in terms of the literature on post-disaster context, that competition for work and limited housing is a significant stressor. We also know that without a base of social community or social cohesion, that can also be a risk factor. In this specific situation, we know that there is a lack of familial and social and community networks. And we also know that a post-disaster context increases the limited availability of health resources, social resources, and then we compound all of that with the fact that the population that we're studying is undocumented. As Dr. Congress mentioned in her presentation, we have this idea of the immigrant health paradox. And specifically to Latinos, you may have heard of the Latino health paradox that states that the first generation of Latino immigrants are significantly healthier, contrary to perhaps what people may intuitively believe, than the second generation and third generation. And in fact, second generation and third generation Latinos begin to replicate the same sort of patterns of health behaviors and health outcomes as native-born populations, although still their drug use outcomes as well as their mental health outcomes are lower than whites. But recent studies are beginning to unpack the Latino health paradox and are beginning to state or see that there is considerable within-group differences, and in fact, we do not necessarily know what's going on with smaller sub-migrant populations such as the day laborers that I'm discussing and other low-wage workers. So having said that, and having that in the background, we also know that context matters, right? So when we're looking at New Orleans, we know that New Orleans has a really strong presence of open-air drug markets, and crack use in New Orleans pre- and post-Katrina has been prevalent. And we also know that there are significant health consequences associated to crack. So we wanted to look at what's going on with the Latino immigrants in New Orleans and whether they have been affected by the context that they're living in. So specifically, we wanted to look at the social processes of how context contributes to the initiation or resumption of crack smoking behavior and its implications for public health. The emergent themes that I'll be discussing with you today are the initiation of use among this population, patterns of use, the ideology of use, social isolation and vulnerability, and the health consequences that are reported by our participants. We utilized rapid assessment methodology, whereupon we had four field workers go out and really look at the different day labor corners that may exist in New Orleans. So they scouted out, they talked to gatekeepers, key stakeholders, to find out where are the spots where mainly Latino immigrant men are congregating to look for work. And based upon that, we found four work sites that were the largest work sites or the largest day labor sites where men were congregating to look for work. And we recruited our participants through there. So the data of today was based upon 52 participants. And we did, as this is a qualitative study, we conducted extensive life history interviews that lasted approximately an hour to an hour and a half. Our inclusion criteria included participants that were male, because we know largely nationally, through national studies, we know that most day laborers tend to be men. And this could be, you know, due to the fact that they're procuring work in, you know, open spaces and public street corners. We looked at adults and those that were born in a Latin American country. And because we were interested in the ideology of drug use, we selected participants who reported, we screened for participants who reported drug use in the past year, and also indicated that they had arrived in New Orleans post-Katrina. Our sample characteristics, most of the men were about 32 years old. They were mainly from Honduras. They reported living with other men, you know, in apartments. And most of them reported that their wife or children, if they had any, were in their country of origin. And their weekly earnings were anywhere between $200 to $1,500, as day labor work is highly seasonal, as you can imagine, because it focuses on construction. And it's very dependent on the conditions of the market. In regards to drug use, you know, I really want to put it out there that this is not a prevalence study, so we're talking about this population of participants. So in regards to that, most of the participants indicated that there was an overall increase in their drug use after they moved to New Orleans. So you see 96% indicated increased use of marijuana, 90% of alcohol, 64% cocaine, and 48% crack. 48% crack, right? That's nearly half, double the increase. The reason that this is compelling is because actually previous studies have reported that among this population of newly arrived Latino immigrants, crack use is nearly non-existent. So this was a very novel finding that we found. Majority of their participants indicated that this was first time, the initiation of their use happened for the first time in New Orleans. And the context of their first use was in a social gathering while they were decompressing with friends, chatting, talking. So I'll read you this quote. "While I was just getting here from Honduras, my brother during those days was in jail here. I didn't know where to go or anything. I had a friend that lived in an apartment with others. Then I went and I told him, 'Are you going to give me a place to stay?' And he said, 'Yes.' He and his friend smoked a lot of crack. One night he told me, "Do you want to try it?" I grabbed the pipe and fired it up and started smoking. I don't remember anything. I was really high. So a lot of our participants indicated, again, as this theme illustrates, that they were initiated into this use, or initiated into crack, really, through other peers. In regards to patterns of crack use, we saw patterns range from occasional weekend use, people who said, "Oh, I just use on the weekend," to people who stated that they engaged in long periods of daily smoking. What was really interesting is that you found a lot of workers, a lot of participants state that after a week of working, they would parcel out a certain amount of money that they would send to their families in their country of origin as remittances, and then pay their bills. And whatever money was left, they would use for entertainment, whether it be substances or, you know, in this case, crack. Most reported going through some serious period of dependence, which is important. And it also looked like use increased with the decrease of work. And this is interesting because it shows that there's other psychosocial factors associated to crack use, or drug use, really. We didn't even eat or drink. The food was for us to keep smoking crack almost all night and three nights more without sleeping. We spent around $900. On Monday, I felt horrible. This quote actually is from a participant who was retelling us the process of him moving to New Orleans and how in the very beginning there was a lot of work. And because there was a lot of work, there was money. And what was really interesting, and a lot of our participants stated this, that in the very beginning, even though there might not have been food available because the grocery stores were closed, drugs were always available. So that was an interesting thing. So what are some factors that participants indicated led to their initiation? Well, easy accessibility. Like I mentioned, yeah, food was not available, but crack or other types of drugs were available. So that was something that assisted them in diminishing hunger. Also was something that allowed for social bonding, et cetera. Affordable pricing. They talked about how these drugs were priced at, affordably, and how these were marketed alongside marijuana, which a lot of the participants indicated that they might have used previously at least once, and the fact that crack was marketed with marijuana, they thought, okay, why not? I'll try this as well. So as a participant stated, here all one has to do is walk outside of your house and you can buy crack just outside your apartment. And this really speaks to the high accessibility of the drug. As I stated, there are certainly psychosocial factors associated to drug use among this population. And I would say a majority, if not all, of our participants really talked about this feeling of desperation or this feeling of longing and social isolation. And we find this in the literature in general with this population. A lot of the qualitative studies that have been conducted on Latino day laborers or immigrant workers have said, have talked about social isolation, or in Spanish, desesperación, this feeling of longing and despair. Similarly, our participants talked about the difficulty of being separated from their families, their children, the difficulties associated with not being able to support them as they had initially visualized for themselves in their objective to migrate to the United States. And they also talked about the difficulty of not having an established network of Latinos in New Orleans, a presence of community or a feeling of community. Desperation has caused me to use crack more. There is no work. I try to always keep some money in my pocket, but when 4 or 5 days pass without work, I get a feeling of despair. This causes me to use. I have nothing to do or keep me occupied. Another thing that Dr. Congress talked about, and I think this finding piggybacks really nicely, is the stress associated with being highly vulnerable as a direct result of being undocumented. A lot of the participants, and in my previous studies with this population, we found that they've reported significant workers' rights abuses, including wage theft. And wage theft is, you know, working for an employer for, let's say, a week or maybe even a month, and never getting paid for the services that you've provided. They talked about that stress of having an inconsistent income, not knowing if they're going to be able to pay their bills, not knowing if they're going to be able to send money to their family, but then also being victimized and being seen as these walking ATMs. And this is something also, I don't know if you read in your national newses or your local news stories, but it's a phenomena that's happening everywhere, whereupon people believe that they, you know, these workers are, well, they are vulnerable because they may not report crime to the police in fear of being deported, but also they carry large amounts of cash. So there's a lot of physical, as you can imagine, there's a lot of physical and mental health consequences of this crack use. And these are exacerbated by the fact that there is a very significant lack of access to both health services and social services. And without being able to have people to talk to or peer support or social support, this just increases all of these different risks. One of the other finding, and we were reporting this in another article that we're working on, is the absence of conventional sexual networks. And this is significant for HIV risk-taking behavior because there's all these single Latino young men we're finding in New Orleans, but there's not that many women. So we found a lot of our participants engaging in high-risk sex with sex workers. And as you can imagine, that has a lot of implications for HIV. I also wanted to point out, here I have a quote that says, many people get sick and they don't work. They stay sick because they don't have money to go to the clinic to get examined or to buy medicine. However, we also had participants who stated that, even though they were documented themselves and they try to go to free public clinics, language barriers were so significant that they weren't able to get the care that they needed. So that's important to note. So as this presentation has noted, this population is a highly vulnerable population that in this post-disaster context and with the increased high accessibility of drugs as well as their social vulnerabilities has led to an increase and an initiation of crack use that needs to be explored further. This has public health relevance because obviously crack use or other drug use can lead to the potential for being a bridge for infection for HIV and other sort of bloodborne pathogens. And public health programs as well as social service programs need to be able to understand the unique contextual factors that are important in the lives of the people that we want to serve to be able to fully develop culturally responsive interventions and programs with this population. All right.